within my family, there was this new realization that this is a collective responsibility. And not only my family, but all people, especially the friends around me. So we have literally been turned into freedom fighters.
From 2728 Pictures, this is Just Dropping In, a show about the global creators and influencers who are reframing the lens on people, places, and ideas. I'm J.R. Byersmith, and on this episode, a look at the journey of Bobby Wine, a wildly popular Afropop star turned politician who is giving voice to a people power movement poised to unseat Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni. Hey, Alama. At 72, Yoweri Museveni has been in power since Bobby Wine was 4 years old. With the recent fall of al-Bashir in Sudan and Bouteflika in Algeria, I wanted to connect with Bobby and talk about his people power movement. At 37, he's a married father of four, parliament member, wildly popular musician, and leading opposition candidate for president. It's the latter endeavor that is getting him attention outside the country. Never more so than in August of last year. The details are murky, but what's beyond dispute is that Bobby's driver, Yassine Kawuma, was shot and killed by government forces.
One of the Bobby Wine's team that we believe is his driver has been shot dead in his Tundra car, and the body is still lying in that very car, in the driver's seat specifically. And we have seen the police coming right now as I talk, and they're manding the old place, and we have seen a team of plain cloth, not in uniform, enter the very hotel that Bobby Wine's driver was shot in. We don't know who is inside. Probably we are thinking Bobby Wine is also inside.
For days, Bobby's wife, who we'll hear from later, was unable to reach him. Once freed, Bobby came to the U.S. for treatment and made his case to the media, appearing in multiple international outlets and penning an op-ed in the Washington Post. Here he is on NPR with Scott Simon.
After the campaigns, I returned to my hotel room. There we were attacked. The military, the section of that military is called Special Forces Command. And before I knew, they all descended on me, kicked me, beat me everywhere, again, did despicable things to me. They squeezed my testicles. They hit me with gun butts. When I screamed, they wrapped my head again and hit me so hard on the back of the head until I was unconscious.
Then, in October, Bobby announced he was going to hold a concert at Mandela Stadium, a venue that could hold up to 40,000. He planned to perform his new hit song, Kiranga. But as he might have expected, President Museveni was prepared to squash yet another show. Bobby made the announcement on October 3rd, but by the 12th, the commander of the Kampala Metropolitan Police said the show was off. He claimed the venue was already booked. It most definitely was not. Meanwhile, President Museveni was focused on another musician. Kanye West was in town with his wife, Kim Kardashian, and daughter, North. Western media was all over it. So too was the Uganda press. Just to refresh your pop culture memory a bit, that was just after Kanye had made his visit to the White House and then appeared on SNL with a MAGA rant while wearing his Make America Great Again red hat. The backlash that followed caused him to take a social media sabbatical. I don't follow Kim or Kanye, but a quick search back to October 13th, a day after Bobby's show was canceled by Museveni, you can see that Kim and Kanye were thrilled to be in Uganda. It was a bucket list trip, according to E! Online and their inside sources. Kim posted about elephants being in her backyard, and Kanye's social sabbatical, it ended after just 2 weeks. In a video that has now 1.2 million views, Kanye West started a broadcast on Periscope. Here's what he said. When people try to influence you through social media and try to tell you what to do, or if you post something positive on IG and it gets taken down because it's not part of a bigger agenda, it's mind control.
That's the echo chamber. That's trying to control you based off of incentivizing you. And, you know, for me, you know, I just got back my IQ scores and they were Mensa level, 133, 98 percentile, like straight up
Sigmund Freud, Tesla vibes. I feel like when people tell me what to do, I feel like they're touching my brain. Like for a woman, she wants to be in control of her body and choose who she gives it to. I feel like that with my mind. He goes on like this for 9 more minutes. I don't know how many of the 1.2 million that clicked on this broadcast got to the end, but I couldn't. I feared mind control. The next day, on October 14th, Kanye was back on Periscope again, this time in a tent with an impromptu rap session. The quiet trip was very much public at this point. Then the following day, the 15th, Kanye and Kim meet with President Museveni. the strongman, who has ruled Uganda since 1986. At a meet and greet that was open to the press before going in a private helicopter to visit an orphanage, they exchanged some ideas. Just to give you some visual context, Museveni is seated on the far left. And I don't know what to make of the seating, but Kanye is seated off to his right, several feet away. And then several feet from there, on a couch, is Kim and the First Lady. Here's Kanye.
But I'd like to know, what are the other industries that you would like to build and have a discussion about what would make the entire country be the most, to build Wakanda, really, to them be the most thriving?
If you didn't catch that, he's asking what other industries there are, besides tourism, that would make the country thrive, just like a Wakanda. He wants to build a Jurassic Park, but has to explain to Museveni that those are dinosaurs. After this meeting, Kim, Kanye, and the strongman, who just changed the constitution to allow him to run again after 75, headed off to the orphanage. The photo op included handing out a couple dozen Yeezys to kids. Bobby Wine's Freedom Concert? It never happened.
My father said there's more politics in the music industry than in the parliament here.
Yeah.
Forgive them, father, they don't know who them deal with. Anyway. We are bad man, we don't fear intimidation. That's why we still top of the nation. From Tangala, Kamocha, where we come from. This is a new one for you. It is me, yes, Bad Bobby One, the highest top budget gangster, yes indeed.
When I first caught up with Bobby, it was late in the evening in the capital city of Kampala. He was in a car on the way to meet some friends. Earlier that day, he had had a bullhorn in hand to amplify his message to property owners that they indeed had rights.
Today, I'm calling upon all of you to hold all of us leaders accountable.
Bobby grew up attached to his mother's hip. She was a working woman who had to share her husband with two other wives and dozens of children. So it was mom who shaped him. You can hear his reverence for her in his song, Superwoman.
If you have a mother, hands up for your mother. Hands up for your mother. Hands up for your mother. All right. Zawa kumina bilibuli runa kusewa keda ngo kuntwala kuna sabre school. Nakuna banga ngo tunda buka balagala ne sumbu sefune chokuya. My mama used to be a street side fender, but one thing she teach me is never to surrender. How she made it, everybody wonder. She played the role of father and mother. Anyway, she never said love.
In 1997, when he was just 15, Bobby's mother died in a car accident, leaving him with siblings to care for, one of which was just a year old. I recorded the audio on our first call, and it's not great, but I want you to hear from him how he describes those years between his mom's passing and the first time he met Barbara Otunga, who cast opposite him in the lead role of a controversial play during his senior year at university.
I was unruly, and I thought I was also an alpha male, too opinionated. So, I was crazy, you know, because I used to be violent, and I used to drink quite a lot, and I used to be an outlaw, and, you know, so I thought she was too good for me.
Did you fall for her right away?
No, I did not like her right away. As a matter of fact, I disliked her right away.
Why?
Because she was too opinionated.
We spoke a lot about those early days. And when the call ended, I had so many questions about the evolution of Bobby Wine. And so much pointed to these polar opposites attracting. Over the coming weeks, Barbara, who Bobby affectionately refers to as Barbie, and I exchanged messages on WhatsApp. I quickly learned that they were both complete opposites. She was the church girl who had to work hard to learn her lines. He thought she had an attitude and was opinionated, but really, he just thought she was too good for him, so he stayed detached from the group. That was until they all showed up early one day to rehearsal, and the theater was closed. Bobby had no choice but to talk to the group. Soon, the two leads, a cat and a mouse, who became president and first lady in the play, developed a friendship offstage. Here's Barbie.
We were very different. We still are different, but we have a common ground. We fought so much. We fought about religion. We fought about his company. We fought about my going to church often. We fought about what my family and friends thought about him. We thought about so many things.
Barbie had no idea when she first met Robert Cigani, aka Bobby Wine, that he was a budding music star. He had been in a lot of studios as a hobby since he was 15, but it was in 2002, coincidentally, the same year Kanye burst onto the scene with Through the Wire, that his dancehall hit A Kokoma made him famous. The first time Barbie went to a concert, she realized that Bobby and his Firebase crew were not just famous, but she loved the music. She also realized this guy who she had become friends with was rich in spirit.
When we were walking, I asked him why he was taking a different direction from the direction he used to take every day. And he told me he was buying ice cream for the brother. So I asked him if he had younger brothers, and he said he had several of them and that he supported them and that he was more like their father. So what I meant when I said that I realized I was dealing with something different, I realized that what he looked like was actually different from what he was. He put up an act. He lived the Bobby Wine. He was the superstar. He lived, he gave the attitude of an artist, and he did not allow most people to know who exactly he was, the Kyagulanyi, the normal him. So that was the beginning. When he said he was buying ice cream for the brother, that was the beginning of me wanting to know much, much more about him. That's when I proposed that I think I should visit him at his home and see how he fathers these children. It was more of, I brought it up as if a joke, but I was serious. And yeah, definitely the days that went by, I visited his ghetto house, phoned his brothers around there, his elder brothers and his younger brothers, and I got to realize everyone was living in the same place. But because he had been raised by his brother, it was now his duty to raise his younger brothers. So I was interested in knowing more about him. And as time went by, I realized I was becoming friends with the most responsible boy I had ever met of our time.
After 7 months together, they decided they wanted to marry, but there was just one problem. Bobby was not yet in a position to offer a bride price. As was custom, he needed to offer the family money, cows, or goods before he could get married. In 2015, the Uganda Supreme Court began chipping away at the unconstitutionality of this practice. But then, he needed to present something. Here's Bobby.
I had to go get some money, you know, pay for our bride price to our family. And then we had to plan how to build a life together. And I also had to plan to finally make an occasion that is befitting of somebody as amazing as Bobby.
Over the next decade and a half, Bobby would dominate the music landscape, producing more than 70 songs. Then in April 2017, he decided to make a run for Parliament, and that's when everything changed. Back to Barbie and what she thought about his move to Parliament.
I had seen it coming. Actually, my first expression was, this is the right time. You have taken so much of your time not doing this. I think you're called to do this. I think you're called to be a leader. I think you're called to serve. And here is an opportunity. So go for it. And I encouraged him. I told him, you're going to win this. You're going to win this 100%. I do not know why these other people are in the race. But what I know is that you're going to beat them bad. So I was very sure that he was going to win it. I was confident that that was the right time to go into direct service. And yes, he had my blessing. It wasn't a shock.
What do you feel like as a citizen, but then as a wife, about what's happened to him since August?
After August, there is so much energy on the ground. People are more involved. I do not know how everyone has become part of this whole campaign suddenly. all the silent people are now speaking. And it all began when he was still in prison, when we didn't know where he was. Everybody was up in arms, looking for him, demanding the government to produce him. They said, bring him to us, alive or dead, we just want him. And then when he came back, it did not change. The energy stayed, the energy is intensifying, and people are responding to his campaigns. When he says register and vote, they are really doing it. Hold on, he's calling me, let me just respond. As I was saying, I think the ground is more vigilant. The people are more willing to be involved into anything that brings change in the governance of this country, and they are looking for a leader, for someone to point them to which direction they should take.
This is a message to the government, expressing what's exactly on the people's mind.
There's something happening in Uganda. People are responding to Bobi Wine, and Museveni, who is known for squashing any challenge to his authority, is not pleased. On a recent trip out of the country, I caught up with Bobby on a layover in Doha. It was late, another end to a long day of campaigning and travel. You'll hear it in his voice from time to time between the sips of tea at the airport lounge. Politics has completely taken over his life.
Every single thing is now different. It's not the same at all, and it keeps changing. Everything turned out to be a matter of life and death. That many times when I leave my house, my family is not sure whether or not I will come back. Ever since my incarceration and the assassination attempt, my wife also engaged another level, another speed. And now within my family, there was this new realization that this is a collective responsibility. And not only my family, but all people, especially the friends around me. So we have literally been turned into freedom fighters.
You and I first spoke several weeks ago, so I've had the opportunity to get to know your team a little bit. And I keep wondering, from the assassination attempt to the forces standing outside of your home, those guys are probably friends of yours too. What's this like for them? And do you feel a responsibility, not just for them, but for their families?
Yeah, it is tough for my friends. Of course, some friends, some people that I've been working for, that I've been working with, have officially resigned, and they were honest with me, and they could not take the pressure anymore. And the parents of the people that I work with are warning them to stay away from politics, and particularly me, because I'm so much of a government target. Of late, the regime scaled down on the threat on me, but again multiplied the threat on my friends. We have reports that there's a plan to eliminate all those people around me.
Part of what's made Bobby such a creative force and now a political one is his gift of reaching people. It's effortless. He told me he admires the great orators. That's why he stood in front of the MLK statue on his last visit to D.C. But that's not his style. He speaks like he sings. His contemporaneous style is born out of a struggle and a yearning for a nation that was promised when it was founded in 1962. Under house arrest at the end of April, just a short time after we spoke, he cut a new track with his friend on the front porch. He kept the beat with his ring, tapping a plate that held his son's birthday cake. The hook to the song was born out of his live-streamed conversation about his encounter with government forces outside his home. He says when you look past the armor and look into their eyes, you can see their humanity. I'm not fighting you. I'm fighting for you.
The major problem back home is a personal rule where one man and his henchmen, mainly his family and tribesmen, are holding the entire nation at stake. The courts do not have power, the parliament does not have power, and neither does any institution have power. So what we have to do is first and foremost return power to the people, of course, through their institutions and through their democratically elected leaders.
What does October 9th, 1962 mean to you?
I commemorate it, but I commemorate it with misery, because I know that it was on that day when our nation was born, a beautiful nation, and it was on that day when people of different backgrounds came together because they wanted to build a nation that would make the future generations proud. Now, I constantly remind myself and my friends that we are that generation that they were talking about in 1962. We are the grandchildren of those people, the independence generation. And indeed, I go ahead and remind them that we are the grandparents of the future generations who must make decisions now that will turn the kind of life that we want our children and children's children to live.
What do you think your mom would say about where you are and what you're doing?
Well, the first time if my mother was alive, she would first of all be disappointed in what I'm doing. Because when I was growing up, my mother was always telling us to stay out of politics because it was apparently politics that had impoverished our family, that had made our family lose everything they had. So yes, that explains why I kept out of politics for so long. However, I know that I would be able to convince my mother and make her see things the way I see them, make her realize that because their generation did not stand up firm enough, that's why my generation ended up like this in the gutters. And if my generation does not stand firm enough, then we would be passing the misery to our children.
Is the fight more than just about your countrymen? You, your family, do you think about the kids a lot?
Yeah, for starters, I must be honest. It is, I'm looking at myself and my children. We want to live in a nice country. I want to be in a country where my children are going to be, are not going to be denied opportunities because of their last name, or because of the tribe they belong to, or because of their religion, or because of their political affiliation. And now, when it goes beyond my children, I notice that even my friends have children, my countrymen and women have children, we have children as a nation. So, while I play my humble part and everybody plays their part, then we can be able to sort out an entire nation.
Can you even wrap your head around if you had the opportunity to unseat him and come to power, if you'd really be strong enough to leave after one or two terms and let somebody else take the reins?
You see, the problem is that it has always been left to just the politicians. And most of the politicians have nothing else to offer but politics. So I believe that... And I'm not trying to elevate myself above anybody else. But I, when I look at myself, I don't look at myself as the Alpha and Omega. I look at myself as another Ugandan that wants to play a role, and most importantly, wants to demystify the so-called big man syndrome. Our challenge has always been the liberator syndrome, where one man comes and poses like our liberator, and that person is consumed by the sense of entitlement. However, if this time we do it as a nation, that means every single person, educated or uneducated, rich or poor, male or female, will be equal before and under the law.
It's always been the African strongman. Does the people power include women power too?
Yeah. If you notice that most of the leaders that have drowned Africa a male. So maybe it is a high time for us to rethink our mindset. Personally, I'm a product of a woman. I'm everything I am because of my mother's teaching and my mother's nurturing. So I know that women are over half of our population. So you cannot be a leader that looks at only one part of the population.
Last question. When you're going on a walk, visiting a village, or sitting on a long plane flight like you did earlier tonight, do music lyrics continue to run through you? Like, is that drum beat still moving through you like it once did?
It does, actually. It does. It's the same way. I'm the same guy. I'm still the same crazy music guy. However, of late, I find myself singing so much about issues. But make no mistake, the music still comes back and I love it.
On April 29th, 2 days after releasing a studio version of this song that he dedicated to men and women in uniform, Bobby's house arrest turned into another actual arrest. After driving through a sea of people chanting "People Power," Bobby was pulled from his vehicle and taken to a packed courthouse where he made his case before the magistrate, with Barbie looking on.
Your Honor, I'm confident because indeed it's not me on trial in this court. It is the court itself on trial because I have not committed any crime, as my lawyers explained. I'm only here because I disagree with the political leadership of this country, and in particular, President Museveni. But my spirit is confident, Your Honor, because I am here not because I've stolen public funds or I've killed somebody. I am glad that I'm here because I'm fighting for them, for you, Your Honor, for everybody in this country. I'm here for protesting against unfair taxation and against injustice. So if I'm to go through this operation and pain, Your Honor, for the betterment of my country, so be it. At least I know that history will absolve me. I thank you.
His admin posted this video to YouTube and closed with, "Pray for Bobby. Pray for Uganda. We shall overcome."
What I would want for this country, I would want for this country to have service delivered to the people, services in hospitals, services in schools, mothers not dying while giving birth, girl children attending school more, businesses and jobs for the youth. And I think I would want to see a new leader for this country. We were almost all of us, more than 80% were born when there is this president, so would like to see a change. As a citizen, I would want to see tribalism ended. As a citizen, I would want to see all elder people retiring with benefits. I would want to see our doctors stay in the country and not having the brain drain. I would want to see a stable Uganda. I would want to see a place where we are not fighting for land as it is lately. And I would want to see a small gap between the poor and the rich. So that's the country I would want.
To mama, respect to mama. We love you, mama. We love you, mama. If you have a mother, hands up for your mother. Hands up for your mother. Mama, you used to be a street and bender, but one thing you teach me is never to surrender. How you made it, I also wonder. You play the role of father and mother. Anyway, mama move on you quest ganga mundu meye. The wali chire manga nina we mami. Wabai, quest ganga mundu meye. Kwa gali zana.